नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Text number 30, instructions by Maharaj Prithil.
Dohitradin Vrite Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Apavarganam Prayena Eka Atmya Hetuna Dohitradin Te Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Pavarganam Prayena Khyatma Hetuna Dohitradin Te Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Pavarganam Prayenai Khyatma Hetuna Dohitradin Te Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Pavarganam Prayenai Khyatma Hetuna Dohitradin Rite Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Pavarganam Prayenai Khyatma Hetuna Dohitradin Rite Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Pavarganam Prayenai Khyatma Hetuna That's it, huh? Come on, Mark Eric? No. Ladies, chant. Dohitradin Te Mrityo Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Varga Svarga Pavarganam Prayenai Khyatma Hetuna Dohitra Adin Grandsons like my father Vena Rite Except Mrityo of personified death Shochan Abominable Dharma Vimohitan Bewildered on the path of religion Varga Religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation Economic development, sense gratification and liberation It's Kali Yuga. Svarga, elevation to the heavenly planets. Apavarganam, being freed from material contamination. Prayena, almost always. Eka, one. Atmyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hetuna, on account of, translation, although abominable persons like my father, Vena, the grandson of death
personified, are bewildered on the path of religion, all the great personalities like those mentioned agree that in this world the only bestower of the benedictions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, or elevation to the heavenly planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Report by Srila Prabhupada. King Vena, the father of Prithu Maharaj, was condemned by the Brahmanas and saintly persons because of his denying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and rejecting the method of satisfying him by performance of Vedic sacrifice. In other words, he was an atheist who did not believe in the existence of God and who consequently stopped all Vedic ritualistic ceremonies in his kingdom. Prithu Maharaj considered King Vena's character abominable because Vena was foolish regarding the execution of religious performances. Atheists are of the opinion that there is no need to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be successful in religion, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. According to them, dharma or religious principles are meant to establish an imaginary God, to encourage one to become moral, honest, and just, so that social orders may be maintained in peace and tranquility. Furthermore, they say, that actually there is no need to accept God for this purpose, for if one follows the principles of morality and honesty, that is sufficient. Similarly, if one makes nice plans and works very hard for economic development, automatically the result of economic development will come. Similarly, sense gratification also does not depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if one earns enough money by any process, one will have sufficient opportunity for sense gratification. Insofar as liberation is concerned, they say that there is no need to talk of liberation because after death everything is finished. Should we stop there? No. Prithu Maharaj, however, did not accept the authority of such atheists headed by his father, who was the grandson of death personified. Generally, a daughter inherits the qualities of her father, and a son gets the qualities of his mother. Thus, Mrityu's daughter, Sunita, got all the qualities of her father, and Vena inherited the qualities of his mother. A person who is always subjected to the rules and regulations of repeated birth and death cannot accommodate anything beyond materialistic ideas. Since King Vena was such a man, he did not believe in the existence of God. Modern civilization agrees with the principles of King Vena. But actually, if we scrutinizingly study all the conditions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, we must accept the principles of the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Vedic literature, religion consists only of the codes of law given by God. There's one more long paragraph. If one does not accept the authority of the Supreme Godhead in matters of religion and morality, one must explain why two persons of the same moral standard achieve different results. It is generally found that even if two men have the same moral standards of ethics, honesty, and morality, their positions are still not the same. Similarly, in economic development, it is seen that if two men work very hard day and night, still, the results are not the same. One person may enjoy great opulence, even without working, whereas another person, although working very hard, does not even get two sufficient meals a day. Similarly, in a matter of sense gratification,
Sometimes one who has sufficient food is still not happy in his family affairs, or sometimes is not even married, whereas another person, even though not economically well off, has the greatest opportunity for sense gratification. Even an animal, like a hog or a dog, may have greater opportunities for sense gratification than a human being. We were watching one this morning. This crazy fellow that haunts the walkway across the street was inside the garbage dumpster, talking to himself for about a half an hour. Right, Vaninath? That crazy guy. Banging around, rummaging around, having a conversation with whoever, I don't know. Even an animal like a hog or a dog may have greater opportunities for sense gratification than a human being. Aside from liberation, even if we consider only the preliminary necessities of life, dharma, artha, and kama, economic religion, economic development, and sense gratification, we will see that they are not the same for everyone. Therefore, it must be accepted that there is someone who determines the different standards. In conclusion, not only for liberation must one depend on the Lord, but even for ordinary necessities in the material world. Prithu Maharaj therefore indicated that in spite of having rich parents, children are sometimes not happy. Similarly, in spite of valuable medicine administered by a competent physician, sometimes a patient dies. Or, in spite of having a big, safe boat, sometimes a man drowns. We may thus struggle to counteract impediments offered by material nature, but our attempts cannot be successful unless we are favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very hard to comment on this. So complete. But I'll go back one verse, because the verse that was read yesterday was a continuation of the verse that was read the day before, because it was such a long purport, 4 or 5 pages purport. So the verse that follows that is text 28-29. So read that, and it's a very short purport. And that text 28-29 refers to text 27, the one with the long, long purport. It says, this is, the translation reads for 28-29, this is confirmed not only by the evidence of the Vedas, but also by the personal behavior of great personalities like Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, Priyavrata, and my grandfather, Anga, as well as many other great personalities and ordinary living entities exemplified by Maharaj Prahlad and Bali, all of whom are theists, believing in the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries a club. So, this is confirmed refers to text 27, that there must be a supreme authority. All great authorities have concluded, according to the authoritative statements of Shastra, that there must be a supreme authority who is able to award the respective benefits of our present activities. This is now, I'm reading text 27. Otherwise, why should there be persons who are unusually beautiful or powerful or both in this life and in the life after death? So this is, these verses are studying this point. Why is one person born in a particular condition and another in a different condition of life? The conclusion is there must be a supreme authority. And 28-29 is saying that great authorities have confirmed this from evidence of the Vedas and also the personal behavior of great personalities. So
So the Mahajans have confirmed. So here's the purport. Narottama Das Thakur states that one who has ascertained the right path for his activities by following in the footsteps of great saintly persons and books of knowledge under the guidance of a spiritual master, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. A saintly person is one who follows the Vedic injunctions, which are the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Guru refers to one who gives proper direction under the authority of the Vedic injunctions and according to the examples of the lives of great personalities. The best way to mold one's life is to follow in the footsteps of authorized personalities like those mentioned herein by Prithu Maharaj, beginning with Swayambhuva Manu. The safest path in life is to follow such great personalities, especially those mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mahajanas, or great personalities, are Brahma, Shiva, Narada Muni, Manu, the Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Yamaraj, Bhishma, Janaka, Shukadeva Goswami, and Kapila Muni. Om Hagyanativarandhasya Ananjana Savakaya Chaksuna Miritam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Svayam Pagadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Very nice argument is being presented. Of course, it's kind of humorous to hear the presentation of the atheist. Humorous and also not so humorous. Humorous because from one who is even a little educated in spiritual science, it doesn't stand at all. Even our common experience tells us that it doesn't stand at all, as Prabhupada points out. However, as true as that statement may be, paschati na paschati, they cannot see the nature of this illusory energy, is that it covers the conditioned soul just according to his desire. This is the function of the Supreme Lord, situated within the heart of every living entity. He is understanding very clearly what is our desire. Mataksmatiya jnanam apohanam cha. He allows us to forget and to remember, according to whatever we want to forget and remember. That even that power to forget and remember comes from Krishna. So we can forget Krishna, or we can forget material life. We can forget that life of forgetfulness by the power of Krishna only. So those that are desiring to come to this material world, enjoy separately from him, this foolish argument is given to their material intelligence. But we will accept, just like the man asked in the end of the class last night, when did the concept of God begin? When did it start? As if it was something manufactured, created by man, created out of the imagination of man. Because this is what the atheist says. The concept of God alludes to this, to the pre-assumption that there isn't a God. It's just a concept only. Because that's what the atheists are saying. God does not exist. Concept of God, that's all right. We'll accept concept of God because it just helps make life more peaceful. It helps keep people in line. It saves a lot of trouble and a lot of taxpayers' money. Instead of having to have cops and laws, you just have people believe in God. Then they stay moral, because if they don't, yesterday, just a little anecdote, this is Monday morning, so we're going to tell some stories and keep everybody wide awake. Yesterday morning, right in the middle of japa period, some lunatic called on the telephone. But at the end, it turned out he just intoxicated. he wanted to argue the point that actually I have great disgust for any religion that teaches that you have to accept God out of fear. Now, very clearly, this man was speaking, as it turned out, it was also confirmed by him. He was speaking about Christianity, like fire and brimstone, you know, drive by Times Square sometime. You hear these people blaring out, "You're all sinners and you're all going to burn. You have to, unless I am the truth, I am the life." Accepting God out of fear. Because unless you do, you should be moral, because if you're not moral, burn forever. Burn forever. You get great relish out of repeating those syllables. Therefore, out of fear, accept God. That's not our Vedic philosophy. Out of knowledge, and eventually out of love. So here are these points that Prabhupada is presenting is out of knowledge. Whatever argument one may present about the position of atheism, common experience doesn't dictate that. I'll refer back to this man's conversation. He was going on saying, "If I take a nice rose, you know, you people who are religionists, you get off on how you have to say that it's from God. God created it. But I just think, I just dig it. It's just a nice rose. And I enjoy it. And if God's there, then God provided it for me to enjoy it." I mean, a religious person will understand that God wants, just like a father wants his children to be happy, God will want everyone to be happy, so he makes nice roses for us. But I don't have to think about God about it. I'm just supposed to enjoy it. That's the atheist. His prophet is paraphrasing the atheist argument. We're just meant to enjoy. So we'll accept this path, these principles of religiosity. Why? Because it enhances our opportunity for enjoyment. If everyone's nicey-nice with each other, if we're very moral and treat each other with respect, don't hurt anybody. This is what modern idea of religion has come to. Don't hurt anybody. Our immigration lawyer, we had nice discussion, philosophical discussion. This was the topmost platform he could describe of what being a religious man is. He considers himself to be a religious man. And he respects the devotees because we're also religious people. He's a religious people and we're religious people because we don't hurt anybody. As long as you don't hurt anybody, be nice, don't hurt anybody, that's religion. God will recognize that and you'll get your just reward for not hurting anybody. But the atheist would then say, just accept that this is good for you to follow these kinds of standards, and then you don't even need this concept of God. You need to bring it into existence, and then it drops out of existence after you become good. Just become good. Just follow certain codes because it's good for society. And if you're not sure that it's good for society, just the state tells you. They're using the same method, the descending method, because the state tells you, do it. Because it's good for you. We're saying the same thing. But because the topmost authority, not the state, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead indicates. But why is that? That God indicates. Because he also, under his control, he establishes the law of karma. Prabhupada is making, in this argument, Prabhupada is bringing out very clearly that the law of karma indicates the existence of God. Because even the atheist will acknowledge this ill reaction comes from bad action, and good action produces nice reaction. The existentialists are also atheists, but they have this understanding also. What's the famous one? Sartre? Is he the one that drove his car off a cliff? Yeah? Or Camus, he's another one. That if you perform some... Their philosophy is nothing matters. Because there's no God, because there's no supreme authority, nothing matters. I just exist. That's all I can say that matters. I exist. I think, therefore I exist. Because I'm thinking. So if I think this way or that way, it doesn't matter, because there's no higher principle. And then for my thinking, if I do something, that doesn't matter either. Or if I don't do something. If I kill you, that doesn't matter. I mean, part of their philosophy is, you may have to accept the consequence. They accept the law of karma. You may have to accept the consequence for what you do. But that doesn't matter either. You just exist, existentialists. You just exist. But this very fact, they're in a state of ignorance. The very fact that there is a reaction for what you do means there is a higher controller. Just like this man that was speaking on the phone. He was going on and on about how nothing... There is no order behind... If you try to tell me that because Prabhupada gives this argument, if you see a nice, someone comes into the temple and sees what Parvati's drawn on the wall up here, they'll naturally think, oh, this is very nice. Who has done this? Or some nice painting or sculpture or some nice music or something. Naturally one thinks, who has done this? Someone makes a real nice preparation. Wow, who made this? This is natural. When the rose is also there, but this man is giving the argument. Who cares about how it came there? It's there, so I enjoy it. But this law of karma, naturally one would think, where does this all come from? Where does the order come from? Just as this man is speaking. My dear sir, you're very proud of how eloquently and intelligently you think that you're speaking. But where does that ability come from? Even in your own case. With just a bunch of atoms bumping together? Because you have a particular way that your atoms bump together, it makes you able to speak intelligently, better than the next guy? You got a better bumping ratio? That intelligence also comes from Krishna. Atakshmatya Gyanam Apolanamcha. Knowledge comes from God. Even material knowledge, that comes from God. And spiritual knowledge, that comes from God, ultimately. How to build the demoniac civilization that they put together also comes from God, according to their desire. So it's not our experience that something just comes about, or that if we work very, very hard. This is sometimes called the Protestant ethic, believe it or not. When you leave the word Protestant out, it sounds like atheism. Just work hard. Work real hard. And be nice. Be a nicey nice. And you'll get everything. Heaven on earth and heaven afterwards. The best you can get now and attain heaven. This is the scope of their understanding of spiritual life. This is, according to Vedic standard, this is considered atheistic. A similar reference is the Karma Mimamsa philosophy that Krishna is describing to his father. You don't need to worship Indra, you don't need to worship anybody. Just perform your duty nicely and you will get the result. That's atheistic. It's predisposed on the principle that there is the law of karma. But where is the law of karma coming from? If there is, it's coming from higher order, from higher intelligence, from the supreme proprietor, the supreme controller, the supreme lord. I must serve him. Service follows, or worship, all the items of the nine processes of devotional service, including worship, follows from understanding that God is very great and I am very small. But because we're so proud, we have to hear how great is God, and how, by understanding the greatness of God, it becomes very clear how we are not so great, but very tiny. We are controlled at every moment. We are foolish in our material existence, at every step of the journey. We're suffering in this material world, and God never suffers. How is it that we can make the mistake of thinking that we're very great, as great as God, or we can become as great as God? Again, that's reducing God to our position. God can become fallen like I am. That's the conclusion of saying that I can become as good as God. This is the argument of the Mayavadi, and this is why so much is there in the teachings of Prabhupada's purports, as well as the verses of the Bhagavatam, to smash and pound on this idea of Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavadi philosophy teaches that the supreme Brahman becomes covered by Maya, or a body. The unmanifest becomes manifest in a physical form. That Krishna's form is material. But there is no difference between Krishna's form and Krishna. There's the Krishna inside, and then there's no difference between Krishna's inside and Krishna's outside. Pure and uncontaminated. That is Krishna's position. So as far as the principles of religion are concerned, each of these Prabhupada is going through here in the purport, for the principles of religion. The bestower of the benefits of those practices of religion comes from the supreme authority, higher authority. He is determining the order or the laws under which those benedictions are coming, and he is giving them directly. And the principles of economic development. The atheist argues, you don't have to concern yourself with God. Again, just apply yourself very carefully, very intelligently, and work very hard, and you'll get your economic development. Who needs God? But Prabhupada's reply, counter-argument is, we don't find that within life. That's an interesting argument, but we don't find that. Using Prabhupada's phrase, why is one man born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and another man is born a pauper? One person doesn't even have to try, and he's filthy rich. And another person works day and night like a dog. And everything escapes him. Either by taxes, or someone steals it, or he just gets cheated, or someone doesn't make enough money, or can never get any opportunity. Why? Why is that? Causality. So what is that cause? The atheist says it isn't a cause.
Just keep trying. Sooner or later. But even for the sooner, why is it working out the way that it's working out? It's due to one's previous activities. And based on one's previous activities, there are certain laws that life is governed by. And one outcome is there for one person, another for another person. Or the same argument is there for sense gratification. One person is searching after sense gratification, high and low, left and right, day and night, all day long, for sense gratification, and can't seem to get their desired sense gratification on another person without even lifting a little finger. There's sense gratification surrounding them, all over the place. Anyway, the simple conclusion is that there is some higher order, some higher intelligence or authority that is determining these things. Therefore, even by just using our little tiny brains, we can come to the conclusion that there must be to discuss these points with an atheist, and in our society, although people claim that they accept God, their lives don't indicate it. Basically, in fact, they're atheistic. An atheistic is just a state of mind, because as far as the soul is concerned, the soul is eternally related with God. There's a natural condition of love of God within the heart of every living entity. It just needs to be revived. But in giving these arguments, even they don't accept, the atheist doesn't accept the authority of the scripture. Here Prabhupada is saying, describing Prithu Maharaja's statements, that great personalities have already concluded these things on the strength of the authoritative statements of the Vedic literature. The authoritative statements of the Vedic literature are those messages given directly by the personality of Godhead. And saintly persons are guided under the authority of those statements and of the previous saintly personalities. Ultimately, we're all dependent upon Shastra. There are the three reference points are mentioned. Sadhu Shastra, Guru Vakya. Guru Sadhu Shastra. But the Guru is guided by Sadhu and Shastra. If some statement or activity is performed contrary to the tenets of Shastra, then that position is not the position of Guru. So the Guru is subordinate to Shastra. Although it can be taken the same, because what a genuine, bona fide spiritual master says is completely in accord with what the scripture says. So therefore, there is some identity there. And sadhu the same. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. The advice is given to follow these previous authorities. Who have traversed this treacherous material existence and achieved perfection of life. And one last thing just to comment on. There's twice that the in Prabhupada's purport mention is made of Vena being the grandson of death personified. So, Mityu is the grandfather of Vena. Mityu's daughter is Sunita. And the daughter takes, characteristically, the daughter takes on the qualities of the father. And then Sunita's son, Vena, took on the qualities of his mother. Here the reference is made. person who is always subjected to the rules and regulations of repeated birth and death cannot accommodate anything beyond materialistic ideas. As long as we haven't taken up the transcendental path, then we're simply influenced by the material laws, being pushed and pulled and buffeted and dragged around by the laws of material nature. So those laws that are God-given, those laws that govern the activities of the material energy, one is strictly under the tight grip of those laws. Even the atheist, for all of their statements and expletives, they're also under the control of God. And those that are the Mahajans, they're also under the control of God. It's not that by becoming a saintly personality, the idea is to escape subordinacy to the personality of Godhead. Quite the contrary, it's to voluntarily subject oneself to that reality, or voluntarily put oneself under the shelter of that reality, in a position of loving service. The atheist also has to serve under the strict laws of material nature. In the course of that serving, a very miserable condition follows, because they don't want to serve any higher order. And therefore they're put into a very difficult condition, again and again and again, repeatedly, birth after birth. So the sensible person, in conclusion, the sensible person will take the path of shelter, of serving the personality of Godhead, thus bringing one's mind and senses, which give one so much difficulty in this life, under proper control, and therefore a natural condition of peaceful condition of life in this life, and achieve the association of the Supreme Lord after this life. So I'll stop and ask for questions. Lagini, Shakti. Yeah, the atheist won't care for that argument. Not initially, anyway. Prabhupada doesn't even do that in his purport. He states the atheist position clearly, and on their terms defeats it. Dealing with that kind of an individual, to meet him on the... Because just as Krishna was defeating Arjuna on all different levels, some of the arguments that Krishna was giving Arjuna were material arguments. And also the topmost of arguments. So according to the individual that you're addressing, you have to speak to them in such a way that they'll be able to hear what you're saying. And then, once they've, that position is no longer in their little grasp, they'll be able to hear something, maybe, that's on a little higher level, if they're a little submissive. So, we'll be glad to just sit down for a few years, and we're glad to tell you all about them. We have so many books. Maharaj? You had some? Oh, yeah, they do. You hear the same thing all the time? You have that feeling. So for the benefit of whoever's left, is there anyone left in the kitchen?
Vishnu? Okay. Maharaj's question was, for people who present that God has given us all this energy for us to enjoy, how do you answer that question? Enjoyment, like, it's a fact that everything is created has a plan by the plan maker, by the creator. So, as far as enjoyment is concerned, there's false enjoyment and there's real enjoyment. The false enjoyment is to enjoy separately from God, and the real enjoyment is to enjoy in connection with God. So enjoying in connection with God means in the capacity or role of servant. As far as the servant is concerned, he does not even for a moment think that the property of the master can belong to him. Then he's no longer servant, if he's thinking that way. If everything that exists is God's energy, then the purpose of that energy is for his enjoyment. And the servant's position is to utilize that for the pleasure of the master. This very point was brought out when Lord Vishnu arrived and offered Prithu Maharaj a benediction, and very, very intelligently and with pure devotion, Prithu Maharaj said, I don't even know what's good for me, so because like a loving father, you're offering me whatever I want, therefore you give me whatever I need. I accept that position in relation to you. You're the perfect knower. As I require, you can give me whatever you feel that I need. Because you're doing that anyway. God is providing for us anyway as we require, according to our deserve and according to our quality. So if there is, as you're using your example, sunshine or fresh water and something to breathe besides this awful air, God provides that for us according to his kindness. So the devotee thinks, how kind my loving father is. He's seeing that which is provided for him in that way. That's the higher enjoyment. Thinking that the other is enjoyable covers our consciousness from that higher enjoyment. It prevents us from experiencing that higher taste of higher enjoyment. So you may think separately from God, enjoying the resources and energies that God has established, that's meant for us. But that's not real enjoyment. That's the so-called or illusory enjoyment that binds us to this material world. Yes. That's another way the question can be answered or asked. But he also put, your answer is that he also put disease, old age, death. So if someone was true to that philosophy, just as much as they should feel they should get into the flower, they should get into old age, disease, and death, because God's provided it for us to enjoy. Get into it. Here's a gun. Get into it. Yes.
when it comes down to it, any philosophy or point of view that isn't of the same stature or caliber as Vaishnava philosophy, people can't live by their philosophy. It's just a smokescreen or an excuse to justify whatever their sense gratification and nonsense is. But they don't live by it anyway. There's so many inconsistencies, like the impersonalist. I finally heard that tape of when Prabhupada got so angry at an impersonalist, he grabbed him and practically grabbed him in his words and said, "Then wear a cotton ball! Everything is one. Why do you wear that shirt?" They can't live by their everything is one. They don't live by their philosophy. The impersonalist was arguing with Prabhupada. He got real heated argument. Everything is one. Prabhupada just got so mad. "You nonsense. What everything is one?" They don't live by their philosophy. All glory to you.